football on off the ball.
I think we've been consistent on our position that while our members and the association have made our position clear to UEFA about our sentiment of Israeli involvement in international football, that they're still entitled to play under UEFA regulations and therefore we will fulfil these fixtures.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The good.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Yeah, so Mikel Arteta,
which French club did he play with? Is the easiest way to ask the question. But the two he started with, too, and a senior side. Premier League title race. This is very exciting, like, in the sense that, right, I thought we'd be on for a potential amber here. Maybe. Right? Yeah. Because Arsenal won the game, right? And I suppose it's the manner of victory that would perturb so many. Arsenal fans will say, well, they're going to relish in the crying of the rest of the world about it.
Let me test your tears.
Like, oh yeah, let you all cry while we win the league.
Nervy Arsenal winning ugly.
And we're talking about the winning ugly comes from the goals coming directly, once again, set piece FC.
Can I just say, like, the ball's in, the corners themselves.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, I thought the best corner taker of the game yesterday was Reece James whipped in near post. Corners were causing consternation for the Arsenal defence. It's getting a lot of angry texts about Arsenal.
Pieces would be the headline. Arsenal's defence going to pieces.
Why are Arsenal players allowed grab the opposition so often without punishment?
Yeah.
This is the conspiracy.
Well, I was listening to our commentary on Off the Ball on News Talk on a Sunday, which is the only place you can hear live Premier League exclusive national radio commentary. And Stephen was like completely exasperated, correctly, on, is this rugby? This is not rugby. The reverse of the famous, this is not soccer. No, you're right, it's not soccer, it's rugby. It's turned into rugby. It's not very enjoyable to watch. I was asking the question pre-show, when Arsenal win the league, will they be the most universally despised winners of the league since Leeds in the 70s? Like, everybody is joined together going, this is shit to watch. Look at that team of all the talents that they have and all the hundreds of millions, nearly a billion spent on acquiring them, and their manager, who was schooled in Pep Guardiola, you know, he's got a 1 degree of separation to Johan Cruyff, all the way back to the hallowed, storied, most beautiful football that we've ever seen. And this is how, it's like Wimbledon cross with Stoke, jumbled together, merged with the Arsenal back four from the 80s. George Graham, that's who you are. You're not Johan Cruyff. Maybe that Arsenal team in the 80s were almost, people didn't hate them. They wanted a break from Liverpool.
Does it matter?
Boring Arsenal, they were called.
It doesn't matter. It matters for, like, football. It matters for, like, do you like life? Are you alive? Are you, like, slowly, the air is coming out of the balloon? Like,
their only job is to win games and entertain their own fans. Their fans are happy enough because they're winning games.
Will they, for the rest of us, will they? Correct, right? And that's my point. Everybody else has coalesced. They have united football in a way that nothing has ever united football.
Should be thanking them, yeah. I've no issue with it, personally. No, I'm weirdly enough...
Do you
enjoy
it?
No, it's not good to watch.
All right, so you sit there, you're like, I'm just going to go to the dentist for the next 30 minutes and have someone... That's what watching football is now like for you.
But I don't think Man City have been particularly good to watch over the last few seasons either. So, like, you know.
I'm pining now for a routine 3-0 victory where Kevin De Bruyne does something amazing.
Really?
Anything. Show me some football here.
Yeah, like, I actually weirdly don't have any quarrels with Arsenal. I wouldn't mind seeing them get over the line.
Colin's tuned out. He's not interested in this.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening intently.
He's taking it in. Like, yeah, I've no issues with the type, it's not good to watch, but a lot of football over the last 10 years.
Why do you need to defend them? It's like, of course their job is...
I'm not even defending them, I'm just saying. Like
I get it. I understand that, like, Mikel Arteta wins the league playing this and he's like, oh, okay, job done, bonus banked. But, like, it is bad for football that these corners have become the single most important aspect of all of football.
Do you think they bring in some rule changes?
I think it's, if they were to start policing the grappling,
yeah,
things would change quickly.
It's an interesting one, right? That the Arsenal fans wouldn't be that perturbed by any of this, right? And you asked the question about Leeds, right? The most hated team since Leeds. So they would be known as dirty, dirty Leeds back then, right? This is Dan Revy's side, Johnny Giles in midfield. But they played a bit of ball as well. Like, they can play ball, they're just dirty, right? Boring, boring Arsenal was under George Graham, right? 1-0 to the Arsenal, the fans would happily sing.
Okay. Yeah, the football was bad then because of the back pass, but yeah.
So this Arsenal crew aren't even getting songs about being boring. Like, they're not even getting the Hollywood version of being mundane. There's a disdain towards their mundanity.
Right? Yeah.
I would say, like, Manchester United under Alex Ferguson, turn of the century when they won 3 in a row, they were absolutely hated. ABU was the club most supported by many people.
Well, I was a Villa fan and I loved watching them play football because they had Ryan Giggs and Beckham and...
But it depends what you mean by hatred, right?
You can... So they bought the league title, Man United, or outspent everybody after Blackburn had done it, but a plucky little Blackburn, so I was like, that was fine. And then that all kind of... That withered because they played really good attacking football. Now, not every game was great, right? But there were moments. That FA Cup semi-final replay, extra time, that's an all-timer. This Arsenal side.
They're not making you feel anything, is it, other than Ebere Eze?
Clammy hand death. Even they've even tried to ruin him.
Well, he could go back into that shell, right, of being a team player rather than an individual, right? Like Joe Cole when he went to Chelsea under Jose Mourinho.
And Duffer.
Joe lost his magic, but his Wikipedia was enhanced. You know what I mean? So they get the title. So maybe Mikel Arteta wins the title this year with Arsenal. And then next season, they play more expansively.
Maybe Chelsea's last victory under Mourinho. People hated them universally. Because we knew what the truth was by that stage.
She can have Mikel Arteta. Complete the club sequence. Barcelona B, Rangers, Real Sociedad, Everton, Arsenal. You're missing a loan spell to France.
Barcelona B, blank, Rangers.
Rangers.
You mentioned Jose Mourinho's winning team there. It's a bit of a trend though, isn't it, that Premier League winning teams aren't generally the most exciting to watch? Because that's how you get it done. You just play the logical football. It may not be the most artistically pleasing.
Yeah, I mean, there was that, you know, Pep versus Klopp there just before COVID around that time. Like, that was amazing stuff. Like, it was like back and forth. The only thing about that was a two-team league, really. And the one thing you'd say about this, like, tragicomedy version of the Premier League this season is like no one's really that particularly good or dominant, so there's a lot of room for manoeuvre here. So that's the other side of it, like the unpredictability. Like, for instance, 3 p.m. on a Saturday at Turf Moor, Burnley versus Brentford has absolutely no right to be that amazing.
Classic.
You know, it was incredible. Caoimhín Kelleher wasn't there because his partner was giving birth to her first child. And in his absence, carnage.
Nice of him to sort that out for not being during the international break, by the way. Good man, Caoimhín. Forward planning.
Carnage ensued, you know. And even Liverpool beating West Ham like 5-2. It was when Liverpool, or when West Ham got one back at 3 and another back at 4. It's like, wouldn't rule it out like with the way Liverpool are this season. There's an excitement in the carnage in that way. But then you get to the top of the league and they're so insufferably consistent at doing one thing that people don't really enjoy. That's what people hate. The set pieces, corners, like Declan Rice whipping in the corner and it's going to be finished and people are just sick of people like sitting there watching that. That's why people are sick of it. But Arsenal fans don't care about this.
No, and nor should they. That's their, well, maybe they should. I don't know, maybe they shouldn't. You know.
Anyway, Leeds United under lights at Elland Road, an incredible record, right? The last 24 games, 20 wins, 4 draws. Man City go there. Now it was 5:30 p.m. in Leeds on Saturday. I think there was a little bit of brightness starting off.
So it's actually, because we had a good long conversation about this on Friday's Final One Standing.
Mm-hmm.
Just had to remember the name of the show that I present every week for the last year. and it's actually 5 o'clock kickoffs, after 5 o'clock. That was what the record was.
So
we were checking, what time, will they turn the lights on just to keep it? But actually,
when Arsenal went there a few weeks ago, that was at 3. Was it? That was 3 o'clock kickoff, I think it was. And they won by 4. So City go there, Semenyo scores. What a start to his career, Man City.
Low key, what a great finish.
Yeah.
He's sliding in from about 10 yards out. Yeah. Like he's celebrating the knee slide already. You know the way the knee slide now is like much longer than it's ever been in history.
Yeah.
He starts and it's just exactly, I think.
Well, I actually have the Premier League here. Like this isn't necessarily about just Arsenal. You know, like Newcastle 2, Everton 3. Nick Faltamana plays centre mid. It's all over the shop.
Yeah, he's been filling in there for the last few weeks.
This is great, unpredictable stuff. Like Spurs losing again.
there again.
That's pretty predictable now.
Newcastle would be the main story if Spurs weren't their league form.
Newcastle are 12th.
But like...
And they shouldn't be that bad. And like, I was looking at that Spurs team yesterday, and I don't think Spurs should be that bad either. I was looking through that team, I was like, that's actually, it's a grand side.
Yeah.
But they are in a downward spiral, but in that, it's very entertaining. Like,
oh, it's amazing.
It's incredibly entertaining to watch this happen. So I look, I'm going to put the title race into green. Right? Even though Arsenal are 5 points clear now, I'm still not 100% convinced.
So they're 5 points clear. It's awful to watch, but it's in the green.
But I'm talking about the Premier League overall. It's still giving me something. Okay. It's a very flawed league, and I kind of am admiring it in that way. And Arsenal do have to go to City. They do have to go to City.
It's far from over.
It's far from over. So I'm going to say, you know, because we asked Jonathan Wilson this, like, you know, is this a dull Premier League season? Is this one of the worst on record? He said, like, everybody talks about most seasons like that. Like, that, the aforementioned Man City-Liverpool dominance pre-COVID, when they were on 98, 97 points respectively, people are lamenting the lack of competition at the top.
Yeah. This is better, you know definitely. What I mean?
So the one question I have for you is Aston Villa are like, what the hell? So it's only Wolves' second victory of the season. So the Derby County 2007-08 side can rest easy. Their record is intact.
Popping the champagne corks.
Yeah.
Like the 1972 Miami Dolphins every time somebody loses a game.
And who would have thought Man United, like third, the highest they've been in the Premier League since May 2023. Yeah.
If Chelsea had beaten Arsenal yesterday, which obviously was a big if, by the time Villa finished their next game, they could be sixth. But because Chelsea just 6 points back from them now, and they play Villa midweek. So there's a full on swoon happening. I did back them not to finish in the top four about 5 weeks ago, and I am now quids in on that, unfortunately. They'll finish fifth, I think. That game against Chelsea will essentially decide who gets to play Champions League football next year. But I think that if Villa were to lose it, Chelsea will catch them. But if Villa were to win it, then I think they'd be far enough away from Chelsea.
You backed your own team not to finish top four.
It's called an emotional hedge.
Jesus. In some ways, I respect it. So are we putting a...
Sorry, Wales plus the points this weekend is a great bet. 27 points.
That's the spread?
Yeah. Well, it was early in the week. It's come down a little
bit. That's a bit ridiculous.
It just would push everybody in the direction of the clip from Andrew Trimble's new podcast with Vittorio Angelino where they're mocking. They're totally disrespecting Wales. The hatred is visceral for them. It's like I look forward to the morons giving out, this is a great rugby proud nation. Oh, look at you. Oh, what are you saying about the proud nation? You could. Oh, it's disrespectful. Oh, they're putting that in the dressing room wall. They will. Yeah. All right, Tarquin.
It's a bad time of year to mock Wales.
It's the only time of the year.
Mikel Arteta never played senior for Spain. Has only managed one club.
Yeah.
What French club did he play for? 0879-180-180 to get a €100 Braeburn voucher. What colour are we going to put this in? I'm saying green.
It's in the green. Yeah. Keep it there.
What is it?
Yeah.
Premier League.
No, that's moved. We've moved on. So we already know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but you wanted to do green.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
On this week's episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, centres on how Mikey Johnson could have swapped the English Midlands for the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Yes, Republic of Ireland winger Mikey Johnson was on the verge of a move to one of the biggest clubs in Brazil in Flamengo. But why did it fall by the wayside? Find out in this week's episode of Sliding Doors, coming to you free each and every Monday. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed to not miss an episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
National Football League. Now this question. What colour would you give this, right? So we were going to go like, I actually handpicked Mayo and Dublin, right? Because Mayo under Andy Moore and then Kobe, like, well, what can you say about Kobe? Comes on, another cameo for about a quarter of an hour, helps himself to two more points, but it's more his general play and his assists. You know, this guy's a playmaker, playing with supreme confidence. And I was going to put Dublin in there too, specifically, for their win at Roscommon. Like, Roscommon are flying it in this new era. And then Dublin get a much needed victory there. But we're going to put the whole league in there because a lot happens. A lot happened.
Yeah.
Do you want to start by hearing from the managers? Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear from Kieran McGeaney here, the Armagh boss, following that match against Mayo.
I know you're frustrated, but the performances haven't been that bad, bar maybe Roscommon first half.
Like, I think it's first 15 minutes against Roscommon, first 8. You know? In fact, I think they've been pretty good. And again, like, you know, you've like lies, damn lies and statistics. Like, you know, as I say, we're doing well in all facets of the game apart from kicking the overs.
Colby McDonald, you played with his father.
Yeah, Kieran, yeah.
What do you make of this kid that's just broken the last couple of weeks?
He looks like a good player. Unfortunately, Mayo, like, there's a PR mega thing behind it. Like, you know, it's like he's a good kid, like, and he could be brilliant. Like, but there's a lot of good kids out there, like, on teams. Like, Kieran was the same. Like, Kieran was an excellent player, quite similar. Like, you know, very stylish but tough out. Like, you know, a lot tougher than most people would have given credit for. So I would imagine Kobe, growing up the same way, Kieran didn't take many prisoners or he didn't expect things handed to him. So I would say Kobe's probably getting the same advice at home, and it'd be good advice.
PR mega thing. Was that the phrase?
PR machine.
He's going to have a phrase a week now that's going to be repeated to him.
Yeah. Look, I have some sympathy with the people of Mayo getting very excited. If you can't be excited about Wunderkinds, what the hell is the point of this?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. lose your mind now. And the first cut is the deepest. You try to love again. The first cut is the deepest. Go for it, Mayo. Embrace this, because it's going to be a one season thing. And then he goes off to Australia and you might never see him again. But like, in the moment, you've got to let the fires rage out of control. Go for it.
Like, yeah, and it's not just a wunderkind that's coming through in the club scene and playing well. He's actually playing for the senior team now and performing,
yeah,
in the role that he's getting. So,
and it's taken a little bit of the heat off the rest of the team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like they nearly lost that game yesterday against Armagh, and no one's talking about that. They're talking about the fact that they have this strength and depth, and they do have strength and depth. And Andy's at the helm.
Yeah, they're looking good.
They are. Also, I think I can't decide if Armagh losing these tight games is a disaster for them confidence wise, or if they're like, we're all Ireland champions. We know what we've done this before. We understand exactly what it means. And also, at Congress the weekend, there'll be no more penalty shootouts and Ulster finals. So maybe there will be after the replay, will there?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Is it going to a third replay?
It must be extra time and then penalties.
So, yeah.
No doubt they'll conspire to find a way to find themselves in a penalty shootout, and even though they've changed the rules to try and make it avoidable.
Yeah, like they're playing, Armagh are playing really well. Like, as McGeaney was saying, it's just when it comes to the finished product. I don't know, does it come back to the hand pass thing that they're relying a bit too much on picking up scores that way? That their kicking scores have taken a bit of a hit? I don't know, but I think they'll be fine. I don't think they're going to lose to Dublin. I think it's not a for sure thing.
Well,
but,
Rossies were unbackable favourites.
I'd say,
they were 1-11 down before they registered score against the Dubs.
I think they'll beat them. Mm. I think they'll be fine. But, you know,
it's in Croker.
Good to get the blips out of the way early in the season, though, to be fair.
Yeah, if they're blips. But if it's a habit, losing's a habit too.
Congress, of course, was dominated by the protest at the weekend. It was a big fallout. And then Peter Canavan on TV as well, talking about his
response.
He went to the protest, of course. And to
Jarlath Burns. Yeah. Burns obviously talked about the history of violence in the north.
Yes.
And Peter Canavan was able to take that on board and, you know, very calmly but passionately rebut what Jarlath Burns was saying. So it'll be interesting to see if this continues now. It felt like there was maybe I don't know, is it a turning point in public opinion? It's hard to know. It's very hard to know if well-organised protests, and obviously the GAA were mad keen to make the story about the fact that the protest had breached security at Croke Park, and that carried a bit of weight for a while.
Yeah.
But it certainly seems to have become more of a talking point among more people since. So I don't know if I don't know if the story's going the direction the GAA wanted to go.
You see, the world woke up on Saturday morning to the news of more doom, like, and it seemed everything else felt totally irrelevant by comparison. And this happens a few hours later and the protest occurs. And naturally enough, this is all that's really discussed afterwards. I mean, it was put kind of in the irony of him going on, you know, the Allianz League show and taking the money. He said, look, that's fair enough and all that, by employed by RTE to talk about sport and all that. A lot of hypocrisy that everyone is actually guilty of. But like, obviously, like, we're reading from the back pages this morning, and all you have to do is go on the front page and see what's actually happening in the world here. It's far more important. And hopefully this is some means of a distraction for everyone this morning, because the actual motions probably went by the wayside here for people in terms of what actually went through in Congress. Yeah. Like, so for example, just to pick one, the All-Ireland preliminary quarterfinals are to be disbanded immediately, which we knew about, really. From 2027, the second and third place teams of the John McDonagh meet in a semi-final to face the first place county in the final. So that's 94.1% support. Counties are empowered to allow 12-a-side games, 98% support. A new descent rule of a 30-metre free advantage to be applied in hurling, 95.1% support. So these are all actually, you know, measures to improve the game and all that, but obviously we're not talking about it, and rightly so in some quarters. But it has been missed, actually, a lot of stuff that went through.
The main talking point in the build-up to this was the extra 2 weeks for the inter-county season to go into August, to which I think ultimately we'll see. I was going to get absolutely hammered. There'd been a targeted campaign against it. The GPA's proposal to limit the inter-county season to 30 weeks did pass. And I think actually what's going to happen in years to come is that they're going to move that window forward, which will take out the possibility of the pre-season competitions, which the GPA are against, and actually will give you those 2 weeks in August. But we're many years of negotiation with county boards and the provincial councils before that happens. And we've had a new low-key president, you'd have to say, elected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have the same.
The Wexford men on Friday night. Yeah. With a really decent background to come up, like chair of Wexford, then Leinster, then very senior in the CCCC as well.
Came through the academy.
Yeah. and I don't know if you touched on it there, but another one that was withdrawn was what we were talking with Colin O'Rourke about last week, was the eight games to be played for the club.
Yeah. So London were saying impossible. Players come and go for us. So, but the spirit of it, I think, is something that they are going to adapt. And certainly that isn't finished. We'll try and talk to Noel McCaffrey over the next few weeks to see exactly what his understanding of where that proposal lies now, because it's his proposal and came through the Clontarf Club. Anyway, look, we've loads more stuff to get through, but Henry Winters is standing by in 3 minutes' time. So we should talk Cate O'Connor or the golf. Which do you want to do first?
Well, we do Cate O'Connor, will we?
Cate O'Connor is absolutely sensational.
She's a superstar, yeah.
So the Irish Indoor Nationals were this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not already on board the Cate O'Connor bandwagon, let me tell you something. This is a bandwagon that's gone all the way to LA.
She hadn't competed since September, since those Worlds.
And she wasn't competing in her own event.
No.
She was competing in the 60-metre hurdles, which Sarah Lavin won, who was also a bona fide superstar. Sarah Lavin just like crushes everybody.
It's eight in a row, I think it is now. 19 senior titles or something stupid.
It's outrageous. But Cate O'Connor's punching the air when she sees the time, because she smashed her own record for it. And then that's on the Saturday. And the Sunday she comes back and does the long jump and wins it. So it's gold and a silver in the Nationals.
Championship record as well, I think. Her final, or her winning distance.
As she tunes up for her season. And it's going to be a big year this year, obviously. I don't think we've any sense yet of what her ceiling is, because every time a major championship comes around, you're like, oh, she needs to do this to qualify for the final. It's like, well, she blasts through that.
Yeah.
She needs to do this to get an Irish record, and she blasts through that. She needs to do this to get a medal, and she blasts through that. So get on board, because Cate O'Connor is an absolute superstar.
Yeah.
That's in the green, if ever there was one.
Of course.
Yeah. We put that football in the green, did we? The National Football League.
Yeah, it's definitely in the green, I think, isn't it? It's one of the more exciting league seasons.
David Holland's going to join us today at 35, by the way.
Yeah.
Loads of intrigue around the goalkeeping situation. Niall Morgan dropped at the weekend. by Tyrone, for example. Yes. Dublin made a change to theirs. Yes. Even the hurling, it was the same.
Yes. $1.7 million is the answer to the question of how much did Shane Lowry miss out on? Bloody hell. He was flying it here. Double bogey in the 16th and 17th meant that he lost his 3-shot lead at the Cognizant Classic there.
He's playing brilliant.
It would have been his fourth career win on the PGA Tour. He was crestfallen, to say the least.
Yeah.
Afterwards. We have this. Have a listen.
Ready to forget it?
Yeah, you have no choice, do you? Like, I have a tea time next Thursday in Bay Hill and I have no choice but to move on. The hardest thing about today is I've never won in front of my 4-year-old and she was there waiting for me and... Yeah, it's... That's what, I only wanted it for her today. I didn't want it for... I don't care about anything else. Like, I wanted it so bad. Just to see her little ginger head running out in the 18 green would have been the most special thing in the world. But I thought I had it. Thought I was going to win. I mean, I didn't get ahead of myself, but, like, I felt so comfortable out there. And then, yeah, tried to get a lot out of my 3-iron down 16. Yeah, and did the only thing I couldn't really do.
Found the water on 16, found the water on 17. Double bogey. He finishes in a tie for second.
He's the worst individual look himself over the last while. Like, obviously at the Ryder Cup last year, which was a great triumph for him personally and for the team, but hasn't won anything since, is it 2019? Like, individually? He won the Duo Tournament, what was that called, with McIlroy?
In New Orleans.
Yeah, but he just can't seem to get over the line.
I just would remind everybody that Park Harrington had like the weirdest catalogue of seconds, including like signing for the wrong score in Wentworth when he'd set a course record and still only losing by a couple of shots. So it's coming. It's now, coming, Shane. It's coming.
We got to give this a colour because Aoife Donegan, this is Irish Golf, is the title here. Yes. Aoife Donegan on a professional debut finished joint 16th, which is very impressive in Australia.
Led the tournament after 63 in the second round and then struggled in the third round but recovered to finish in a top 20 finish.
So it's the
very reddest, respectable.
It's the reddest of reds and a tinge of green equals amber?
Yeah.
Amber for Irish Golf?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Cork and Kildare hurlers, we'll just give them green quickly. Will we? We can talk about that maybe tomorrow a bit.
Yeah, Kildare hurlers last week, kind of low key, put in a brilliant performance against Clare, and it's Tony Kelly hurling in Newbridge, which is obviously has traditionally been a football ground, but this team are building something, and then they backed that up. Really good performance. They were like they had at half time and just a few points down, and it wasn't a B team that Clare brought. It was a proper serious team who had absolutely whooped Antrim the week before.
Yeah.
Then they beat down at the weekend another hat-trick hero. They're playing great hurling, their touch is great, they're like a, you know, everything's gone the right direction for them.
Kilkenny Cork was very competitive. William Buckley and Barry Walsh, two very exciting additions for Cork. Barry Walsh got a lovely goal actually.
That's and O'Connor afterwards delighted, very happy.
Yeah, of course. And then we had Scottish Premiership here as well. So Hearts still top of the league, they won again. The Old Firm finished 2-2. Rangers are 2-up in this game at Ibrox. Yusuf Shermiti, if you haven't seen his first goal, ridiculous. Unbelievable bicycle kick. Perfect technique. Yeah. Rio Hatate equalised a penalty. It was a rebound of a penalty in the 91st minute. It was saved twice. The penalty, the rebounder, amazing. And then he put it in.
It was absolutely amazing. But the big intrigue in that game was the Rangers manager picked the Celtic team beforehand, particularly goalkeeper Martin O'Neill lost his mind about it. And then did what he was told. He dropped Kasper Schmeichel.
He dropped him at first.
He'd been dropped already.
He'd been dropped, rested for the second leg of a game that was already over. Big game coming this weekend.
No, he was dropped because
it's performance based.
The first thing against Stuttgart, he was atrocious, and they lost 2-1 at home to Hibs last weekend.
He's picking his team for me now, is he? Yeah. He's not a fan. Says Martin O'Neill.
And you saw he
picked the team that the Rangers manager wanted, and then makes a lot of changes at half time.
Did you refer to it there? He broke up the fight post match.
Yeah.
He had a very frosty handshake at the end as well.
Should let him go.
Oh, he's not having that Rangers manager.
He's dragging Liam Scales off.
Rematch. Sinead, that's your performance rankings.
Off the Balls, performance rankings.